Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus. Amen. The word of God for our meditation today from Exodus 34, printed on the bottom of page 5 of our worship folder. Have you ever wondered what it must have been like to be one of Jesus' 12 apostles? I know I mentioned this a few weeks ago, to actually have the privilege of being an eyewitness to all his miracles, you know, to see him make the blind see, the deaf hear, the lame walk, and raise people from the dead. But I really wonder what it must have been like for all those times that are not really recorded in the Bible. You know, if you look at one of the Gospels, it's just, you know, how many pages is it? And these men were with Jesus for the better part of 3 years. So there's got to be a lot of conversations that these men had with Jesus that simply aren't recorded in the Bible. And most of us don't even think about that. But I wonder what some of those conversations were like when they were, you know, maybe just sitting around a campfire at night or walking along the road or Jesus just taking one of them aside and having a one-on-one conversation. It must have been just an absolutely fabulous thing. And then for Peter, James, and John, it was even extra special because they were what is often called the inner circle of Jesus' apostles. And, you know, I don't know why he chose Peter, James, and John, but, you know, it seems like you hear about that a lot. When Jesus raised the daughter of Jairus from the dead, he took Peter, James, and John into that upstairs bedroom, and they were able to witness Jesus tell her to open her eyes and get up, right? And they saw the resurrection miracle. It was also Peter, James, and John that Jesus took with him off in the distance in Gethsemane when he had that agonizing prayer the Thursday night before he went to the cross. And if Peter, James, and John hadn't fallen asleep, it would have been an awesome thing for them to actually witness what Jesus was going through. And now here, in Transfiguration, Jesus took Peter, James, and John up that mountain. I often wonder what was wrong with those guys. Did you notice it said they fell asleep again? You know, and when they woke up, what did they see? They saw Jesus in all his heavenly glory, talking with Moses and Elijah, again, two prophets who had long since gone to heaven, also showing the glory of heaven. An awesome thing to see. And we're going to talk more about what happened on that mountain a little bit later in this message. But the word of God that's before us now talks about a different mountain. Now, Moses is there again, but this time it's Mount Sinai. And Moses goes up Mount Sinai to receive God's law. Just to set the stage, the people of Israel had come out of Egypt, crossed the Red Sea. Instead of heading northeast up to the Promised Land, they headed southeast down on Mount Sinai. If you ever get a chance to read the account of their first night camped by Mount Sinai, it's really amazing. We're told that a dark cloud descended onto the mountain, and that there was lightning, and that the mountain shook like an earthquake. And then there were trumpet blasts, and the trumpet blasts kept getting louder and louder and louder. And then God spoke to Moses and said, "Moses, I want you to come up the mountain, but you tell the people while you're up here that they are not to go near the mountain." I don't think that bothered them a whole lot. You know, if I'd have been on the bottom of that mountain and heard those trumpet blasts and saw the lightning and the dark cloud and the mountain shaking, and Moses said to me, "You know what, you keep your distance," I said, "Fine with me." But Moses went up the mountain. And he was gone for 40 days. And while he was up there, that's when God gave him the two tablets with the Ten Commandments, but also all the other laws of the people of Israel. And while he was there, the people of Israel got impatient, thinking that they had been abandoned by Moses. They didn't know what had happened to them, and probably thinking they had been abandoned by God too. That's when they had Aaron make that golden calf, and they started worshiping the calf idol. And you remember what happened when Moses came down the mountain. He was so angry, he took the two tablets of stone and he smashed them on the ground. And God was so angry with the people of Israel, he said, what I really ought to do to these people is I ought to just wipe them all off the face of the earth right now and start over with Moses and get rid of the rest. Now, can you imagine the fear in the hearts of those people? And then Moses was called back up the mountain, and he was gone again, 40 days. It must have been a heart-wrenching 40 days for those people of Israel to be down at the foot of that mountain wondering, now what's God telling Moses? What's going to happen to us? What's he saying to him? Look at what we did. Look at how we turned our backs on God. And this is where the lesson before us picks up. It says, when Moses came down from Mount Sinai, this is the second time now, with the two tablets of the testimony in his hands, God had replaced them, he was not aware that his face was radiant because he had spoken with the Lord. When Aaron and all the Israelites saw Moses, his face was radiant, and they were afraid to come near him. So Moses comes down the mountain again. He's got the two tablets of stone in his hand, and he wasn't aware of the fact that his whole face was glowing. It was radiant. Moses and the rest of the Israelites saw that, and it says they were afraid to even get near Moses. And again, I think it's because of their sin, right? That radiant face of Moses left no doubt that Moses had been in the presence of God, and that what Moses was going to do and what Moses was going to say came directly from God himself. And think of what must have been going through their minds. Look at how we've sinned. Look at that golden calf. And maybe their consciences are getting stirred up to remember all the other sins they had committed and saying, what's going to happen to us? But see, they didn't see God's wrath. They saw God's love and mercy. Because what Moses did is he reconfirmed God's covenant of the law with them. The fact that he had those tablets replaced, and Moses again repeated those laws and gave them all the specifications for the tabernacle. And they knew that God was still with them, and that God was still keeping his promise, that God was going to lead them back to Canaan, back to the promised land. And I'm sure Moses reminded them of the promise God had given them to send a savior. But yet Mount Sinai was still all about the law, wasn't it? The law of God was God's way of telling his people, this is what I expect from you. This is what I want you to do. That's the law, right? God, in the law, God tells us what he wants us to do and not to do. That's Mount Sinai. It represents God's covenant of the law, what God wants us to do and not to do. Now we contrast this with the Mount of Transfiguration, and the Bible doesn't tell us what mountain that was, and it really doesn't matter. And in the children's message, I explained what happened. Peter, James, and John, they see Jesus in all his heavenly glory. They see Moses and Elijah standing next to him, also showing the radiance of God's glory because they had come back from heaven. But it's not important which mountain it was. And the focus isn't totally on Jesus glowing. It did prove he was the Son of God, but the important thing is what they were talking about. Did you catch that in the gospel? They were talking about Jesus' departure. What they were talking about is Jesus' suffering, death, and resurrection. What they were talking about is what Jesus would do to pay the price for sin. How Jesus would take care of the problem all of them and all of us have, because when God gives us his law and tells us what he wants us to do and not to do, we don't do a very good job of keeping it. We do things God tells us not to do, and we don't always do the things God tells us to do. And now Peter, James, and John hear Jesus talking with Moses and Elijah about what he's about to accomplish: suffering, death, resurrection, maybe even his ascension. Awesome thing, right? If they had any doubt whether Jesus was the Son of God and the Savior of the world, all of that doubt was gone. Of course, Jesus told them not to tell anyone about it till after his resurrection. That must have been a tough secret to keep, right? But they did it. But what a great witness they could give after Jesus' resurrection. Mount of Transfiguration. It's all gospel, isn't it? You ever, when you were younger, hear the SOS? You know, the law shows our sin, the gospel shows our Savior. It's a good way to remember the difference between law and gospel. Mount Sinai was all the law. What God wants us to do and not to do, and it shows us our sin very clearly because we don't. The Mount of Transfiguration represents the gospel, the pure gospel which shows and proves that Jesus is the Son of God, discussing with Moses and Elijah for Peter and James and John to hear about what he would do to pay the price for our sins. You got that? Mount Sinai, law, shows us our sin. The Mount of Transfiguration, gospel, shows us our Savior. Now, this coming Wednesday, we're going to begin our Lenten journey. And what is that Lenten journey? It's a journey that takes us through the Passion of Jesus and takes us all the way from Palm Sunday with Jesus riding into Jerusalem and all the way out to the cross on Calvary on Good Friday. It's going to show us very clearly what it took and what Jesus did to accomplish our forgiveness and our eternal life. But remember, it doesn't end. It doesn't end on Good Friday, does it? It takes us to Easter, and it takes us to the empty tomb, where Jesus triumphantly rose from the dead to prove that he had accomplished what he had come to do. And as we begin that journey with Ash Wednesday this week, just keep those two mountains in mind. Mount Sinai, the law, which shows us our sin. The Mount of Transfiguration, the gospel, which shows us what Jesus did to pay the price for sin. Law and gospel. We sin. Jesus saves us. Amen.